So I am Josh, and I love storytelling. I love storytelling so much that I almost had an injection to my eye. You guys want to know why? An injection to the eye, man, that is crazy. What happened was, I was like grade 6. And in school, there's break time. And what do you do during break time? Take a nap. Yes. So because of my passion for storytelling, so I was in front. So everyone sat down. During nap time, we have to lay our heads on the table. But I just watched Power Rangers the day before, so. Nap time. Like, hey, classmate, did you watch Power Rangers? The teacher said, Kyle. Kyle is my nickname since I was young. Kyle. Kyle, you move there because you do not know anyone there. So I move. Nap time. To my left. Hey, did you watch Power Rangers? Kyle! Go to the back. The teacher told me that. I sat at the back all alone. Nobody here, nobody here. And the teacher said this. Any one of you says one more word and you guys will be sent to the clinic for an injection. So, to me, injection only. I've had so much injection. So, nap time. In my front. Hey, have you watched Power Rangers? Girl, go to the clinic. So the teacher brought me to the clinic. Then the nurse was there. Then the teacher said, oh, can you give this boy an injection because he talks a lot. So they're like, ha ha, nothing. Then the nurse said this, oh, but I do not know how to do injection to the body. I only know how to do injection into the eye. I'm like, oh my God. But good thing the teacher was gracious enough, like, oh, never mind. Maybe he or she wasn't prepared for the consequence. So yeah, so that's my passion about storytelling. That's, I think, how it started. But today, I want to talk to you about another story, a story from the Bible. Oh, yes, I have my lightsaber. So when I was in the States, I had the opportunity to drive from Los Angeles all the way to Vegas. So I'm going to show you my journey from LA to Vegas. Yeah, my title is Wine or Wine. If you guys notice, Las Vegas, 216. That is not kilometers. That is miles. And it represents 320 kilometers. It's like here to Penang. So, okay, not bad. 100 miles. Okay, I'm halfway there. But if you calculate, it's still 160 kilometers. It's like just after Ipoh. Finally, I'm in Nevada State, which is where Las Vegas is. But that is just 50 miles from the border of Nevada to Vegas. That is around 80 kilometers. So maybe I'm already in Pancorlao, I don't know. What's before Ipoh? I don't know. So here, I'm almost there. I'm like 10 miles away, 16 kilometers. It's like here to Kupong. But there are two entrances, Las Vegas North, Las Vegas Boulevard North, or Las Vegas Boulevard South. South is where the fabulous sign of Vegas. So there, we arrive. It was evening. So that's my wife. Yeah. That's my wife behind me, like, yeah, we arrive. So if you guys notice, all of my photos are from Google Maps. Because they're just signs. Like, who would take a photo of signs? And I was driving. So in the States, that's very, very illegal. Here, you can get away with it. But in the States, I have to pay. If I do that, I'd have to pay $200, which is like, I can buy a bag, or my wife can buy a bag. Anyway, so signs are pointers, not the destination. If my family say, hey, we're going to Vegas, and then I saw the first sign to Vegas, like, have I reached? No, right? It's like, it's just the sign. So we're back in the series called Beyond the Sign. So John recorded 7 miracles that he called signs. If all the disciples written down all the miracles that Jesus did, the physical Bible, my papa has a physical Bible, it wouldn't be enough to contain all of the miracles that Jesus did. I don't think even our phones can contain it. I don't know. But John called these 7 signs, these 7 miracles, as signs, not miracles. And signs are something that points to someone or to something. So at the end of today, we will know the end game. We will know where it leads to. So today we're going to unpack John 2, verse 1 to 11. If you guys have your own Bibles, please go to John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. If you have a physical Bible, if it's ESV, then that's great. If it's not, you can read the one on the screen. And let's rise up and read the word together. Okay. Great. 1, 2, 3. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This was the first sign Jesus did in Cana, in Galilee, and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Yeah, you may sit down. God, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord God, that you minister to us. Thank you, Lord God, that everything that you do is because of your love for us. Thank you, Lord God, that today we have a new perspective on how much you love us. And thank you that you just speak to us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in this passage, we're going to put it into 3 parts. What's the situation? What is the sign? And what is the significance? Situation is what was going on or what was the circumstance. The sign is what was the miracle or what was performed. And the significance is why did Jesus do this? What did it say about Jesus' character, his attribute, or who he is? And the last part, a bonus part, I'm going to share to you the formula to get out of any situation. Sticky situation, yeah. When you're in trouble, I use this formula. That's something to look forward to. Right, so the situation was... So what was going on? Do you guys know what was going on? There was a wedding. And the thing is, there's no wine. That is crazy. In that time, in that community, it's an honor-shame community. So what does it mean if you ran out of wine? It is shameful because it means that the couple did not prepare. And it means that the bridegroom or the groom himself cannot provide for the family or for his to be family. And the worst part, this is the worst part. During my wedding, right, I was a groom. Now I'm a husband. But here, if you ran out of wine, the mother-in-law can sue the bridegroom. So, yeah, my mother-in-law is here. So, good thing. Thanks, Mom. You didn't sue me. But we didn't lack wine. Did we have wine? I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, they were running out of wine. What did Mary do? Before I tell you what Mary did, don't you guys question, why was Mary there and why would she care? I go to a wedding, there's food, there's water, there's drinks. I don't care if it's running out. I don't care it's like what they have, as long as they serve me food. The only time I would complain is if there's no food at all. But here, Mary was so concerned about the wine running out. So from my research, they were thinking, oh, maybe either Mary was a close relative or the wedding coordinator. Usually I've worked with wedding coordinators. Yeah, and they were like, hey, this and this and this. And then, huh? Need me? Yeah. So, yeah, probably one of those. Probably Mary was the wedding coordinator. So when Mary noticed that, oh, we're running out of wine, he didn't go to Speed Mart, he didn't go to Kiki Mart, he didn't go to Family Mart. He went to Jesus. She just said, we have no wine. So what it means is that because Mary already knew that Jesus is the Son of God, because she gave birth to Jesus. So that alone was a miracle. So she went to Jesus. There's no wine, running out. And she knew that if she surrenders the situation to Jesus, Jesus will take care of it. It's not like Mary looked for grapes and make more wine to serve, but she just went to Jesus. Like, come on, easy. Go to Jesus. Sometimes for us, right? There's so much challenges in our life, and yet we hold on to the challenge. No, God, this is my challenge to take. I am a man. But then again, is it worth it to just hold on to the challenge that you have in your life and not give it to Jesus? Because Jesus knows what's going to happen. Like for me, if I play games. Any one of you play games? Yeah, okay, group. All the men, only the men. Back in 2000, internet was terrible. So there were magazines, game magazines that would tell you where to go, what to do, just to accomplish the level. So you did that as well. So I would always do that, like buy that magazine. Oh, it was like 15 ringgit and that is my week's allowance. It's okay, I can go through this level. I'll sacrifice my food. And so like, oh, okay, then I win that game. It's like, come on, giving the thing to God. Yes, you still have to do all the work, but it's like asking God, like, okay, you take this game, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. It's like a cheat code for life. Isn't that amazing that if you surrender to Jesus, He will help you? So would you rather have your life bland like water and just wine every day, or let Jesus turn your life around? Another thing here is, okay, never mind. In verse 5, Mary said this. His mother said to servants, do whatever he tells you. So verse 3, Mary went to Jesus. Oh, we're running out of wine. Verse 5, his mother just said, do whatever he tells you to the servants. So in Malaysian context, it would be like this. Hello, hello, hello. Do whatever he tells you. So that is like, in my mind, like, oh, okay. In Malaysian, like, hey. Do whatever he tells you. It's so interesting that, yes, in our lives, the challenges of our lives, we surrender to God, okay? We surrender to you. God tells you to do this. And yet, no, God, that's wrong. I don't want to do it that way. That's not cool. I want to do it this way. Or I want to do it like what he did. I don't want to do it like your way. Yes, God, this is the challenge. I give it up to you, but you work according to what I say. Like, it's so interesting that we go to God. Yes, we surrender the challenge of our life, but yet we tell Jesus what to do. It's like going back to the magazine that I buy for cheat codes. Like, oh, do this, do this. No, you're wrong. You should do this, do this. It doesn't make sense because Jesus is the creator of life. And who are we to tell that it's way better than to do it this way than how he created it? When God tells us something, are we willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish the challenge? Do whatever it takes to obey God. It's just, I don't know. It sometimes human beings doesn't make sense. We ask somebody for help. Okay, have you guys ever had a person come to you brokenhearted? He broke my heart. She broke my heart. Ooh, what am I gonna do? Then you consult walk with the person, and then, then the person says to you, "Thank you, thank you." And then do the same thing again. There's another person who broke my heart. Ooh. Then again, walk with the person until they're back to their own feet. And do again. Like, come to another person, bro. Like, first of all, the first question we asked them, did you do what I told you to do? It's like, same as Jesus. We always cry to Jesus, like, oh, help me, help me, help me. But did we do what he asked us to do? So, what did the servants do? So the servants did was, what did Jesus say? So Jesus said, fill the jars with water and fill it to the brim. And there was not just one jar of water. Those jar of water, anyway, by the way, is used for cleansing, for purification. Wash their hands, wash their feet. If I was there, like, if I was the servant, I was like, what does this Jesus guy know about wine? Fill it to the brim. This one is a container to clean hands, clean feet. Like, if you strip down, yes, it says it's for purification. But in layman terms, it's for cleaning hands, for cleaning feet. Like, Mary asked, we're running out of wine. But Jesus said, put water into the jars. But yet, they obeyed. That is obedience. That things that doesn't make sense, we just obey because God said so. Just fun fact about those jars is that it can be a clay jar, it can be a stone jar, but in the wedding, there were six stone jars. Stone jars are more expensive. One is, the clay jar is $7. The stone jars, because you have to chisel it out and make a jar out of it, it's $1,000. It's like crazy. And in total, it would have 678 liters if you sum it up, because you fill up the whole thing with water. So that is a lot of water or wine for everyone. That would be around 700 wine bottles. So in verse 9, here's the sign. When the master of the feast tasted the water, it became wine. So Jesus said, servants, fill the jars with wine. Grab a cup, give it to the master of the feast. And only then, like for me, like it's still water. Because it says, when the master of the feast tasted the water, it became wine. So before I go on for wine, I want to stop here. In the Bible, the Bible says about wine, it's a sign of joy, it's a sign of celebration, and it's a sign of blessing. During that time, wine is more potable than water because they did not have Amway, Coway, or whatever way that purifies your water. But we are not, the Bible is not for drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. Drunkenness can give you shame. Like I remember I got drunk before. I got blacked out. Yesterday in our life bar, Alex was saying, I've never blacked out. And I'm the only one in our group that blacked out because of wine in past history. Not yesterday. So, just saying, making it clear, not yesterday. So, yeah. Extremes, yeah. Being drunk is a sin. It causes us to shame. To be shame. So it's interesting that, so, okay, cool. The water turned into wine by Jesus. What is the significance of that? It is pointing to His redemption. His redemption for us. For me, right? If I was Jesus, right? The first miracle that I would do would be walking on water. That would be cool. And people can see. Or raising the dead. That'd be cool. Like, hey, that'd be my first miracle. Or that would be my first sign. But no. Jesus did a private miracle because of His love and compassion for us. Because of redemption, because He wants to redeem us. That's why He would break His protocol just to be with us. Like for example, in verse 4 it says, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. My hour in verse 4 means His death. But Jesus is willing to do the extra mile to redeem us. So what is redemption? Yeah, okay, we learned about what was happening. There was no wine, so we have to just surrender the challenge and just obey God. And the sign will be Jesus turning water to wine, so that the significance of that is redemption. Cool. Thank you for that information. But what is redemption anyway? Redemption is to be is the price God paid to get us back for His purpose. The price God paid to get us back for His purpose. That is redemption. I like the hymn by Gary James. It says, I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Precious price of love untold. So redemption is something judicial. It's like a law. Because God is love, God is just, and God is holy. Because God already said that, do not eat from this tree, and yet man fell. Hence, all of us fell. Cool, so I'm redeemed. Cool. Redemption is like this. Redemption Say hi, Tigger. So redemption is this. So God put us here. Put us in the Garden of Eden. But yet, we fall. Fall of man. And this is redemption. God paying the price, picking us up to put us back for His purpose. Come on, stay there. Okay, cool. So redemption, yeah, cool. I done. Okay, I'm God done. I've redeemed my child. But you know what? I Googled like, okay, redemption. Okay, cool. So what's after that? Actually, there is something after that. It's salvation. So redemption is fall, God picking you up, putting you back. But salvation is something else. Salvation is, are you ready for this? God being with you for eternity. That is crazy. It's like, yes, I can be redeemed one time, two times, three times. But if God is not with me for all eternity, or I'm not with God for all eternity, it doesn't make sense. So you know what? From this passage, I told you that there is a formula to get out of challenges. First of all, surrender. Mary surrendered what was happening to Jesus. But surrender alone wouldn't help you. You have to obey. You have to obey what God is saying. When you do this, you get redemption. And redemption is the starting point of salvation. So you want to hear a story how this formula was in my life. Cool. I love stories. So back in college days, yes, I went to church. I went for a church because I was new in the Philippines, like college days, first year. And for 2 years, I was in church. And after that, like, old already, I don't need Jesus anymore. I can hang out with my friends. I have so much friends. I'm good looking. I'm cool. I have a car. I have my own place. So like, hey, come on, man. I don't need Jesus. So I would just go out partying, going out with friends, eat and drink. So there are times, yes, because drunkenness is a sin. If you drink too much, if you drink too much wine, you get drunk. It's a fact. So there were times in my life that I got drunk, really, really drunk, that next day, I would just wake up like, huh? What happened? Oh, never mind. I'll just drink 100 plus. Stop drinking. I'll just stop drinking. This is everyone who have been drinking would say, oh, I don't want to drink ever again. I mean, after a week, they'll be drunk again. So that was me. I don't know how I coined that. If you want to drink, get drunk. Then if you don't get drunk, what's the point? That was my wrong mindset. But there was one blackout that I woke up in the morning, really have a bad headache. It's like, oh, what am I doing with my life? Like, yes, I have friends, but what am I doing with my life? This is like empty. So I just surrendered to God and obeyed whatever He said. Like, oh, God, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Surrendered the situation. I felt God said that, surrender your friends to me. You pray for your friends. You pray for your, for the people around you. And then for me, of course, I have to not get drunk. I always remember, like, in my head, drunkenness is a sin. Drunkenness is a sin. Yes, after that, I still get drunk, but less and less. That I've never blacked out. So what I did was surrender and obeyed. And God redeemed me to be with Him. If not, right, I would have not served, honestly. I would have not served in dance. I would have not served in act. I would have not served in sound, in acoustic, in leading mission teams, in leading life groups. So, a bit long, right? Surrender plus obedience plus salvation. I was like, oh, I have a challenge. Oh, surrender, obedience, obey so that I get salvation. You know what? Let's make it easier. Why don't we just remember S-O-S? Yeah. So, in any situation that you are in, just remember, surrender, obedience will lead you to your salvation. Yeah, maybe everyone here can just close your eyes. I don't know what you guys are going through, but I believe everyone is facing something that they alone cannot triumph over. And that us alone, as an individual, we cannot understand why things are happening this way. Hey, in my life there are so many challenges, but I just surrender it to God and obey whatever He says. God can always show us the big picture, but that big picture sometimes doesn't happen in our lives. But yet, we still surrender the challenges and obey towards the big picture that He wants us to go to. God, I pray for everyone here today. Everyone who is facing challenges, or anyone who has forgotten to how good, how loving You are to them. God, I just pray that You are the God that loves us. You are the God that triumphs over our challenges. Thank You that You redeemed us, not just to put to our proper place, but to be with us. I just pray, Lord God, that You show up every time that we surrender the challenge to You and
and we obey to you. In Jesus' name, amen.